In 2021, one of the big legislative accomplishments for liberal criminal justice advocates was a new law that limits the consequences for New Yorkers on parole when they commit certain parole violations. In advance of the measure taking effect in 2022, the state's parole officers are warning that limiting discretion in the parole system will ultimately have negative ramifications for public safety in New York. To discuss these concerns, we're joined by Wayne Spence, a former parole officer who is now president of the Public Employees Federation, which represents parole officers across the state. Welcome to the show, Wayne.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So when we've talked with proponents of this law, known as the quote-unquote less is more proposal, they say it's primarily just about ensuring that New Yorkers on parole aren't reincarcerated for minor parole violations, like showing up late to an appointment. How does that description of what they envision compare to what you see happening in 2022?
For years, we have not taken people off the streets and locked them up for what we consider minor technical violations. I know that's what the advocates and others who support less is more want the public to think, but that's not true.
And when you say that's not happening, are you saying it's not happening en masse or that it's just not happening at all?
It's not happening at all.
Oh, but, I mean, there are examples, though, of people doing things like, you know, leaving a homeless shelter, for example, or staying past curfew and getting rearrested for that.
What happened is this. Nobody gets arrested and go back to jail just for missing one curfew violation.
Okay.
That doesn't happen. It's a combination. You miss your curfew. Mm-hmm. Then when we go check, we find out that you're not living there. So if you had a condition to be in your residence after 7 p.m. and we go there, and we go there more than once, we will charge you for a curfew violation. We'll charge you for not residing at the residence if we've now determined that you moved, because part of your condition is to let you advise your parole officer of where you live. Now, in addition to that, we might then find out that he's no longer working, and by that time, he probably stopped reporting. So you have curfew violation, not living at the residence, not reporting to your parole officer, not working at your employment, and probably then not even going to a drug program or some other thing. So then you can have 5, 6, 7 charges. What happens is then you charge these people with these 7 charges. They go to an administrative law judge, and many times they plea. They plea down to 1 charge. And the 1 charge is usually curfew. And so they go back into state correctional facility on the plea of 1 charge. And that is what the advocates then say. Look, he got arrested for curfew violation. But nobody ever take a total look of the violation of parole summary and charges, because that does not happen.
So it sounds like you're saying then those violations, those non-felony or misdemeanor violations, are an important tool for parole officers who are trying to check on the compliance of someone on parole.
Yes. And by the way, when we take somebody in on those violations, we also look on the person's criminal history. If this person is his first time out, we still try to re-engage them. But if this person is a predicate felon, and most of them usually are, this is their second bid, third bid meaning third parole sentence. We take these actions before they commit new crimes, and commit new crimes mean you have no more victims. Rarely do the crimes be crimes against property. They're usually the crime with a victim. So we tend to try and be proactive so that the community is safe. But what you see now with less is more, and the reason why, even though the law won't take effect until, I think, March, mm-hmm. New York State Department of Corrections Community Supervision is acting as if the law is already in place and has told us through executive orders or procedures from the agency that you will do this, you will do that. So that is why you're seeing a lot more crimes being happening by parolees, because apparently with less is more, you can't take a person off and intercede when you see him decomposing and actually act in a negative way. You have to wait until there's a victim, until there's a new crime, until he shoots somebody, until he robs somebody. Then, and maybe then, you can take him off the street. Even in some of those instances, like the gentleman who shot the 14-year-old in the Bronx in the neck, this guy was on parole for gun. So he was convicted of a gun charge. He then got rearrested when he came out of jail for possessing that weapon. And the parole decided to give away a no delinquency pending court action. No delinquency means that no DD, meaning that we're not going to issue a warrant. So he was allowed to stay on the street. And what did he do? He picked up a gun again and shot his neighbor, who was 13 years old, in the neck. That person if parole would have been allowed to do what we normally do in the past, that person would have been taken off the street. A parole warrant would have been issued for the mere fact, even if a judge or the district attorney didn't want to prosecute.
You're highlighting a very tragic anecdote, and you mentioned that there have been more crimes by people on parole recently. What's that based on? Is there some sort of data that's out there that indicates that there are some sort of increases, or is it more of that sort of anecdotal observations?
Well, it's anecdotal, but what we've been doing, my union and parole officers are now keeping track of all the parolees that commit those crimes that we know of that we could have intervened. So we are tracking it from Buffalo to Long Island. All those, I've told the parole officers, track those cases where you were told not to, because of new agency policy, that you could not intercede, so we can highlight to the public what's going on. And this is before less is more becomes the law of the land. So if this is happening now, what's going to happen in March? Are we going to wait until a 13-year-old is shot in the neck and then dies? Because this person, again, it says it's tragic. This one happened to make the press because it was a 13-year-old. There are cases like this when they're adults who got stabbed, who got assaulted viciously, but we didn't take action.
In case listeners are just joining us, you're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're speaking with Wayne Spence, the head of the Public Employees Federation, about the implementation of so-called less is more legislation. So it sounds like you are keeping an eye on the instances where this new law could be detrimental. Will parole officers, or are parole officers, also tracking instances where someone might commit what would be a minor violation, like being late for curfew, and don't end up having any sort of problems with the law in the future? There is no eventual recidivism?
No, we're not tracking that.
How come?
Because those things cannot lead to a parole officer getting fired. Most of the time, my members are worried that they get blamed.
Isn't this important about public safety? I mean, you build this as a public safety issue, not as a concern about the jobs of parole officers.
When the public gets killed, mm-hmm. or when the public gets set upon, usually a politician or the press wants to know who to blame. Usually a victim's family, who's left holding the bag, if their loved one gets killed or is maimed or hurt, want to say, well, why did this happen? And inevitably, in the past, parole officers always get blamed. Well, if you had drug tested him, maybe he wouldn't have been under the influence of heroin and drive his car into Johnny, who was walking across the street. Maybe parole officer, if had come to his house and searched more vigilantly, would have found that Johnny had a gun, and Johnny could have been taken off the street. Because that has been my experience for 28 years. Fortunately for us now, we're making sure that you can't blame parole officers for inaction when somebody gets hurt or maimed or killed because of our inaction, because everybody used to want a Monday morning quarterback us.
Assemblymember Monica Wallace, a Buffalo area Democrat who voted against the bill, has described it as well-intentioned, but said that it doesn't really work for the real world. Do you think the measure is well-intentioned? And if so, is there a version of this that you think, based on your more than two decades of experience, could serve as some sort of middle ground to ensure that people can successfully navigate parole and aren't necessarily sidelined because of minor issues?
Well, I do believe the bill is well-intentioned. Under the Pataki administration, when I first came, I came on the job right around when Pataki came in, we had zero tolerance. We actually were told to lock people up for marijuana use. We were told to lock people up for heroin use. If they use cocaine, again, we were locking people up for minor things when Pataki was governor. And we did not exercise better judgment. But we seem to swing the pendulum now the other way, mm-hmm. where only when somebody commits a new crime, where there's new victims, will we now take action. So why can't there be a balance? Why does it have to always go from one extreme where we're locking people up for every little thing? And by the way, back then, we were locking people up for crack cocaine, but if you had a good attorney and you got caught with powder cocaine, somehow you could get off. We seemed like we targeted people who were black and brown under those instances. We refer to heroin use. We don't even use the term heroin anymore. We now call it opiates. Is it because more white high school kids are using it more than black and brown folks? So I watched my community got decimated. And I watched jails go from 21 jails to 78 jails. And so I'm not going to sit there and say that there's not a problem, but we seem to go from one extreme to the next extreme. We don't seem to find a middle ground where we can actually serve the community and serve those people who commit crimes.
When you think about ways to improve the parole system moving forward in order to have better outcomes for the people on parole as well as improved public safety, how important is it that the state invests, say, more resources into the parole system so, A, there are more parole officers, so they're handling, say, fewer cases, and, B, that there are more avenues to send people who are on parole than potentially just reincarceration?
I would agree and go back again to the Pataki era. Even with what I said, there was something to be said about the work release program back then, though. As we were building more jails, we also were putting more people in jail, so some people were coming out. We used what we call the work release program, where if somebody can show that can get a job based on the skills they learned either in jail or what they had before jail, if you can get a job and we can verify it, we will have parole officers who are assigned to what you call work release. We can verify you're employed, talk to your employer. We will let you go and work in the community. Maybe you'll come home back and you sleep at a jail for one or two nights. And then month period, then you don't have to stay at the jail anymore. And you're actually in the work release program even before your parole sentence come up for parole consideration. We did away with that when Governor Cuomo came in. We have less than 900 parole officers. When I came on the job back in 1993, there was 1,200 parole officers, but yet the number of parolees have tripled. So we're asking parole officers to work miracles. We're also setting up people for failure. And then we blame the overall system when we're not investing. There should be at least 400 more parole officers to really do the right thing on behalf of the parolees and also the communities. The OTDA system, OTDA, the agency that manages assistance, public assistance. Again, some of these folks are coming out. They're going to need housing. They're going to need public assistance. They're going to need mental health treatment. But yet we've had years of cuts. So we don't have those services out there. But yet we're putting these people on the streets and expecting them to just somehow be good boys and girls after years of being in a jail where in order to survive in a New York State criminal system, you literally have to be almost like a gladiator.
And finally, in advance of the less is more law taking effect, have you had any engagement from either the Hochul administration or the Democratic legislative leaders in either house responding to some of the concerns you've raised and any sort of willingness to tweak or revisit this in any way, shape, or form prior to the law taking effect?
No, I think folks' egos are in the way. Politicians don't tend to admit that they made a mistake. And I don't
That's
think
true.
They only will do it when, I guess it's only one of their loved ones are hurt by this law. That when I say loved ones, somebody directly associated with them, maybe they'll, or when somebody who is famous or rich, where there's national attention to it, then there will be change. Everybody seems to believe that the parole officer is a white male. Not so. Black and brown women now make up the majority of parole officers who come with a bachelor's at a minimum, but most have a master's degree in social work. So as we talk about reimagining law enforcement and we talk about how policing is, and you said we need more social work skills, we have those same skills, but it doesn't seem to matter. Nobody's paying attention to what we're saying. And if somebody would actually engage with these officers who live in the community, they might learn something. And know that this is not based on racism. This is based on accountability, and this is making sure that people who there are victims out there. If you murdered someone or you assaulted someone, there's a victim out there. And why does it mean that we have to create new victims before we take action? Because that's what Less is More will do and is doing.
Well, we've been speaking with Wayne Spence. He's a former parole officer who's now the president of the Public Employees Federation, which represents parole officers across the state. Wayne, thank you so much for making the time and lending us your expertise.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.